By now, most of the Christmas season food donations have been distributed, but the need will go on, obviously, after December 25th, and so will efforts to help people feed their families, including the Food Project, which began a few years ago with the Ashland Food Project, a bi-monthly regular food collection that's since spread to other towns in the Rogue Valley. Today's guest got it all started in Ashland right around 6 years ago, he says. John Javna, we call him the founder of the Feast. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange once again.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's nice to be here again.
Is it really like about the sixth anniversary of the Food Project?
Yeah, just about 6 years ago. For me, about 6 years ago, I had a meeting with a couple of people in Ashland with this sort of wild idea I had that maybe we could go around door to door and pick up food. And to my surprise, they thought it was a good idea and suggested we have another meeting. And the next meeting became the Food Project, actually.
How unusual a concept is this across the country? Because most of the time it's similar to what we see right now or have seen recently with the big Salvation Army barrels out there and put your non-perishable food items in here, that sort of thing.
Well, that's a really good question. It actually is pretty much a revolutionary way of collecting food. You know, we used to say it's a donor drive, not a food drive. A food drive is sort of the traditional way of picking up food. And actually, food banks are the first food bank was in 1967 in Phoenix, Arizona. And immediately they developed the system of doing outreach to communities by putting barrels out and having what they call food drives. And that was pretty suitable for the 60s and 70s and even the 80s. And it gave rise to what's probably one of the most successful grassroots movements in American history, which is the food banks. Every food bank replicated the previous one. Until there are now over 50,000 of them in America, and they bring in untold millions, of food. But that model sort of became ossified in the culture. I mean, everybody did it in the same way, and every time at Christmas or Thanksgiving, they did the same thing. I think the statistic is about 65% of the food that gets donated to food banks comes at this time of year.
65%, really.
Yeah. But anyway, to get back to that, so we changed it from getting a food drive, that is asking people to bring food, to going to people's doors and asking them to be donors and regular donors. And we go six times a year, every 2 months, on the second Saturday of each month, each even month. And we give them a bag, a green bag, a reusable bag, and we ask them to put whatever they want to, whatever food, non-perishable, into the bag and then put it out on their porch. And then one of their neighbors, whom we call a neighborhood coordinator, picks it up and brings it to the local food bank, whatever that happens to be. And that was a whole new idea. And we've developed it. The whole thing has been developed right here in Jackson County.
Had you been involved with any kind of a charity effort on this scale before or in charity efforts at all?
Well, I'm one of the founders of Science Works. That was a heck of a project. Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, just hit its 12th anniversary.
Really? Yeah. Science Works Hands-On Museum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But nothing like this. I never devoted my full time to something like this before. But I'll tell you, the thing that's amazing about this is the way the community, and not just Ashland, but also as we've expanded, every community has embraced it. And it's now the largest volunteer organization in the county. There's over 6,500 households that participate. And I'm sure, by the way, some of your listeners right now are members of the Food Project. And I just want to say thank you so much for your support and for being part of this amazing grassroots effort to bring food and build community. And it's a remarkable thing.
For the people who don't know you, what is your occupational background? What if anything, would have indicated you're heading in this direction ultimately?
Well, I mean, what would have gotten you here in radio? I was an author. The best known thing I've created is called Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, which I created in 1988.
And that toilet top companion for so many homes.
There are 15 million of them in print now.
Are there really?
Yeah. But I actually created the company, the Bathroom Readers Press, and sold it in 2000 and actually took some of the money and started Science Works with it. And we laughingly say that Science Works is the only museum in America founded on the backs of people who read in the bathroom. But anyway, and then I also did a book called 50 Simple Things You Can Do to Save the Earth in 1990, which was a rather which sold a lot of copies, too.
So what had you observed perhaps from other food drives that just didn't seem to work for you? I mean, there must have been some spark of inspiration here. I mean, and there have been, I guess I think about the Postal Service food drive that seems to come, the Stamp Out Hunger drive.
Yeah.
And some of the Boy Scout drives seem to also put materials out there and say, fill this bag and we'll come back and get it.
Well, they do, actually. And although I wasn't aware of them at the time, and the Postal Service food drive is really, really important to a lot of food banks around America. They bring in a lot of food. But, you know, what's different about it is that this is a regular thing. You know, we do it every 2 months. We do it with we do it with neighbors. It's neighborhood based. It uses the old fashioned power of neighborhoods to help people who are neighbors, hungry neighbors in the community. And the idea of doing it on a regular basis is really important because, excuse me, food banks feed people all year round, and if they they run out of food at some point in the year, then they don't have the food to give people in the summer. You know, and there are different things. For example, when kids are out of school, you know, the families who are in need run into a real problem because the kids normally eat in lunch in school and sometimes breakfast in school. So they have to have more food, but they don't have more money to buy it with. And so food banks get have an important job to fill in the summer. But that's when the food is the scarcest. So we pick up food all year round and try to make it possible for them to supply their recipients all year round.
John Javna is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of the Ashland Food Project, which has since spread to the Talent Food Project, the Phoenix Food Project, the Medford Food Project. We'll ask about the other ones as well. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. You might have questions or comments about the operations of this, or can tell some stories about how it works in your town if your town participates. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Was there a gradual shaping of the idea, John, or was it the kind of thing that sprang from your head like Athena, fully formed?
No, it's definitely shaping. One of the great things about any grassroots effort, if it's going to be successful, is that the ideas come from lots of people. And in fact, you know, we say I'm not the founder, I'm the co-founder of the food project in Ashland, because at the same time I was coming up with my idea, there was someone across town, a guy named Paul Giancarlo, and who had his own idea. And he and his kids took their little red wagon and went around and knocked on doors in their neighborhood. So I was thinking about it, and he was actually doing it. And somebody, when I pitched the idea to a bunch of people, they said, hey, there's a guy across town who's doing that. And so he brought a lot of really good ideas and a lot of heart and practical thinking to the project. But, you know, one day I was walking with a friend of mine. He said, hey, you know, in fact, his name is Steve Russo, lives in town too. He said, hey, John, I got an idea for you. I said, what? He said, wouldn't it be great if we had some reusable bags? And, you know, they had our name on it, and we picked one up, and we left one every time we did it. I said, well, that's a great idea, Steve, but, you know, that would cost a couple grand, and we don't have any money to put into this. He said, well, just an idea. About 3 days later, a local businessman gave me a call and said, hey, I heard what you're doing. I'd like to help. And this guy is, I said, I can't imagine you knocking on doors, Dave, you know, so just, you know, give food. He said, no, I want to help. You know, what do you need? And I thought, well, how about some bags? And that's how we got the bags. And there's another guy, a local a graphic designer named Jeff Altimus, who has donated his time for 6 years doing all of our graphics. So if you see our cards or our bags or anything like that, that's Jeff's work. And that's all him, you know. So this is a really group effort.
Did you have any trial runs or experiments or any things to work up to the initial actual drive?
We did. We had a meeting, and you know, this was a series of meetings, and we had no idea what we were doing. You know, we just knew that we wanted to knock on doors and collect food. So we'd have these meetings, and people would show, whoever showed up, you know, half the people from the previous meeting who were absolutely committed to it wouldn't show up, you know. So the second or third meeting where there's a bunch of people, I didn't know most of them. They were in my house, but I had no idea who they were. And we said, okay, let's go out and knock on doors. And people started arguing about, you know, well, let's all go together. No, I want to go on my own. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, and they started really, you know, arguing. And finally, I just stood up and said, just go out and go, whatever your neighborhood is, you think your neighborhood is, that's your neighborhood. And then come back in a month and tell me whether or not this idea works. And so that's how we came up with the idea that each person,
neighborhood coordinators, uh-huh.
Right. And so they did. They came back and they said, hey, it works. And there's this one guy who had shown up. He doesn't live in town anymore, Mark Janes. And he just loved canvassing. He loved knocking on doors. And so everyone came back and said, hey, I called on, you know, 8 people in my neighborhood. Another one said, 12. I got 12 people. Mark stands up and says, well, I called on 142 neighborhood houses. We said, what? He goes, yeah, and 80 of them want to do it. And we said, well, we're, you know, that was the beginning of the food project. And Paul said, okay, let's come up with a date, another great practical idea. Mm-hmm. And somehow the idea of the second Saturday of every even month came out of that meeting, and we were off. And we said, at that point, I said, you know, I think we need a group to run this. And I'd heard things called a steering committee before. Uh-huh. I'd never been on a board before, you know. I said, how about let's have a steering committee. Anyone who wants to show up the next day, you know, we'll meet over at Bloomsbury upstairs. And the next day, 8 people showed up. And that was the beginning of running the food project, coming up with ideas. And I'll tell you, it was a transcendent experience. You know, a truly organic experience, you know, where people are just working together just because they want to, is a wonderful thing. And I don't think I'll ever experience anything like that again. But at the heart of the food project is this, you know, sort of intentional group of people creating community from the inside out and building it around that. And that's how it worked.
John Javna, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the founders of the Ashland Food Project, the idea about 6 years old right around now. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook and see John's smiling face looking back at you from our Facebook page at the Jefferson Exchange. Is there some mnemonic to the idea of the second Saturday of every month divisible by two, a two-by-two kind of thing?
You know, everything is random. I think, you know, if you know, when I used to do the bathroom reader, we do a lot of origin stories. Like how did Monopoly get invented? How did they come up with the idea of fast food and so forth? It almost always is something just random, like somebody, you know, using sort of opportunistically using whatever's around them to create something. And if it works, they keep doing it. And that's really what happened here. Somebody, and I don't, it might have been Paul, but I have no idea who, just said, let's make it the second Saturday of every even month. And now there are, I think, I'm not sure we mentioned this, but there are more than 40 food projects around the country, and I would say within a few years there'll be a lot more. We're taking our time because we're building trying to build a sustainable system. But each one of those is going to be picking food up on the second Saturday of every even month, and we hope that eventually it'll be like National Food Day. But why will it be that day? No reason.
Is there any paid staff? Is it all volunteers?
It's all volunteers. Everything. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned there are 6,500 plus donors in the county, and there are almost five. There are, I think, maybe almost 600 neighborhood coordinators, each of whom is doing it just because they believe in it. And there's a steering committee in each town. There are now, I think, 6 food projects in Jackson County, and the steering committee that runs it. Everybody's a volunteer. Every single person.
And it seems like it's up to the volunteers. I know this from having been, from being married to a former network coordinator, that it's pretty much whatever you choose to do to get the word out, to remind people.
Well, we try to help. You know, we create graphics, or Jeff creates graphics to and we send them out. But really, the beauty of this thing is that it's local. You know, and each community knows that their food is going to their neighbors. You know, it's going to the food bank in their town. So in, you know, White City, it goes to the White City Food Bank. And in Eagle Point, goes to the Eagle Point Food Bank, and so forth. In Medford, it goes to 14 different food banks, which is different than Ashland, which everything goes to the Ashland Emergency Food Bank.
Right. Okay. So different stuff in any town. Any obstacles that have cropped up as other towns have adopted the food project mantle?
Well, everybody runs into the same thing, logistically speaking. You know, it's very easy to get started. You get a group of enthusiastic people with green bags knocking on doors. A certain number of people are going to say yes. But then once that's once you get that started, and we do have we understand the logistics. We've created software to run it. There's a guy named Micah Cardillo in Phoenix, our Phoenix, not Phoenix, Arizona, who created the software, and it runs it well. But we get up to a certain point. The question is, okay, what do you do now? How do you get more neighborhood coordinators? How do you get more donors? And I think this is a good time to say, anybody out there who's interested in being part of this, you can go to neighborhoodfoodproject.com, and there's a portal to each of the local food banks, food projects, to join. So it's neighborhoodfoodproject.com. And when you join, I would love for you to consider becoming a neighborhood coordinator. It's really an easy job, and it's incredibly satisfying to know that you're helping both your neighbors who want to be part of this, and that's a real key part of this thing, is building community, because you enable people to participate in something they may not have time to do otherwise, and bringing food to your hungry neighbors People are stick with it because they really find it rewarding. So this is a pitch. Please join us. We really depend. We don't just depend on you. We are you. You know, this is a grassroots group, and everybody's equal in this thing, whether you're a donor, a recipient, or a neighborhood coordinator. And we need lots of participation in it to keep it going for Jackson County.
And it doesn't seem to take a great deal of time. I mean, it seems like the Saturday morning pickup process is maybe 2 hours. I mean, do you try to limit the size of neighborhoods for each of the neighborhood coordinators?
I think it's more like an hour. You know, we say it averages out to about an hour a month. So if you want to be a neighborhood coordinator and you got about 12 hours, what's that, about 12 hours of TV watching, switch it to picking up bags and dropping them off. I think it's probably the most rewarding way you can spend 12 hours without, you know, putting a lot of effort into it, you know. Because what happens is you get a list, you know, we maintain all the lists, and then you you go out and you pick up the bags. You let them know. It's a very simple thing. A neighborhood coordinator does three things, basically. They sign people up in their neighborhood, unless they're taking over a neighborhood. They remind their donors, because everyone who signs up wants to be reminded because they want to do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't sign up. And then you pick up the bags and drop them off. And we try to make, in every town, we try to make the drop-off a party. You know, mm-hmm. We're told that people just feel great about it, you know, and they drive in and people greet them and you know, thank them. And then the group swarms and unloads the bags from the car.
Is there any accident of timing here that it cropped up at just about the time the economy was starting to tank?
I don't think it was an accident. It wasn't why I did it, but I think it's one of the reasons that it was so successful right off the bat.
Any more tweaks coming? Any more new developments coming? Or is it something that works and so you just keep what works working?
Well, there are lots of tweaks, but nothing you'd see from the outside. It's all system stuff. And we just figured to keep on growing. You know, this year, 360,000 pounds of food brought in by volunteers in the Neighborhood Food Project, the different food projects, in Jackson County alone.
In Jackson County. Wow, that's amazing. NeighborhoodFoodProject.com. John Jabna, one of the creators of the food project. Thanks again so much for joining us. Merry Christmas.
It's always fun, Jeffrey. Thank you.
All right, take care.